Gemara, Shabbat Avlamit Bet, Reita Vazmin Sadi, Shabbat Avlam Ben Esther, Yosef Ben Sabut. Ruha Hashem, Kinecham Began Eden. And when we begin today's daf on Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, we are up to Kehas. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down after they get wide. Let me give you the proper introduction in order that you can understand this piece over here. It's a Mishnah that you're familiar with. We read it every Leil Shabbat. Kehas al aner, kehas al shemen, kehas al petila hayav. The Rabbi Yosef poter mechulam, chutz min a petila, mipene shu osa peham. Let's just get perusha milim first. Ner is not like we use ner today. We call the flame the ner, but in the olden days the vessel, the receptacle that they put the oil in, was called a ner. So ner is actually the cup. Shemen is shemen. Shemen is the oil. And petila is the wick. Now, sometimes on Shabbat, the ner is lit. And the person, he sees the cup. Sometimes it gets very hot. And the cup explodes. The cup breaks. So he doesn't want that to happen. He's worried about the ner. Kehas ala ner. Has. Has means he's worried. He's concerned about the ner. So what does he do? He puts out the flame. He put the flame out on Shabbat. It's asur to put the flame out on Shabbat. But he didn't put it out necessarily for the flame. He did it for an ulterior reason. He did it in order to save the ner. Or kehas ala shemen. He sees the oil is going down and down and down. He doesn't want to waste all this oil, so he puts out the flame on Shabbat, but not for the flames necessarily. He did it for the shemen. Okay, hasla petila. See the wick. The wick is getting burnt, and he says if it's going to last all night like this, the wick is going to be totally burnt. So he puts it out. So the Mishnah says kehas ala ner, kehas ala shemen, kehas ala petila hayav. In all these cases, the person is hayav. Why is he hayav? So the Hachamim explained the reason. There's a big mahloket in Masechet Shabbat, which we're going to see 100 times, between the Bi-Yuda and the Bi-Shimon. Melacha she'ena sericha legufa. That's a melacha that you don't need necessarily the result. You're not doing it in order for the result. For example, the melacha over here is extinguishing. You don't care for the extinguishing so much. You're more worried about the ner. You're more worried about the oil. The melacha that you're doing, which is kibui, that's not your concern here. It's a melacha. But in a sericha legufa, I don't necessarily need the kibui. Guess what? I would wish I didn't have to make the kibui. I wish I could just save the ner without making a kibui. I wish I could save the shemen without making a kibui. It's a menacha, we cannot argue. But that's a dechal gufa. The Bible says hayav. So therefore, what do I care? Ka'asul ha-shemen, ka'asul ha-ner, ka'asul ha-petila, hayav. Because bottom line, you extinguish. I'm menacha shena se dechal gufa. Menacha shena se dechal gufa. It's hayav. The Rabbi Yosef, this is what we came to analyze today. The Rabbi Yosef poter bechulam. Rabbi Yosef says patur. Why? I would think, well, he must hold like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says melachas shena sericha legufa is patur, and therefore the guy extinguished. He did a melacha, but yes, the guy. Why did you do this extinguishing? Because you wanted to extinguish? No, I didn't want to extinguish. I had no choice. I wanted to save the ner. I wanted to save the shemen. Rabbi Yosef poter. So my first reaction would be, oh, he must hold like Rabbi Shimon, melachas shena sericha legufa, patur, chutz min ha-petila. Oh, except when it comes to the petila, when he extinguishes it to save the wick, the penishu osa peham. It sounds like when you extinguish the wick, it makes a coal, it makes like it singes it. That's hayav. I don't know why that's hayav either. According to Rabbi Shimon, I'm not doing it for the extinguishing. I'm doing it for the wick. So it's the same problem. So the question is going to be in the Gemara, listen, Rabbi Yosef, pick a team, pick a side. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's melachashin asinichal gufa hayav, you should be hayav in all three. If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, that it's melachashin asinichal gufa patur, you should be patur in all three. What's this chiluk that Rabbi Yosef poter bechulan holds min a petila? What's the reason petila? Ask the guy. Why did you extinguish it? For the extinguishing? No, to save the wick. Well, to save the wick, there's also an external reason. I don't need the extinguishing, I'm doing it for the wick. Ask the guy, say, I wish I didn't have to extinguish in the first place. I wish the wick would have been durable and that would last the whole time. So, what's the B.O. says, Shita? That's where we start the sugya tonight. The B.O. say, Keman Sviralev. The B.O. say, who does he hold like? If he holds like the B.O. That what melachashin asinichal gufa hayav afilu ba'anach namer hayev. He should be hayav even in the other two, in the ner and the shemen. And if he holds like Rabbi Shimon, that says melachashin asinichal gufa patur petira namer patir. He should be patur and the petira, because again, ena sinicha legufa rashi. The has ala petila namena sericha hamelacha legufa. Even when you're worried about the wick, the melacha itself you're not concerned about. The melacha hainu kibui. Let's zone in on the melacha. The melacha is kibui here. The kibui atzmo eno tzarichlo. The imlo v'iram me'olam havanichale im metechila ubeba oil behas aleha ki it bat tefe. This guy wishes that he never had to extinguish it in the first place. He wishes that the ner would have been long enough and durable enough from the beginning. So he asks the guy, oh, you're extinguishing? I think I want to extinguish. I'm not interested. I have no choice to extinguish. But it's a melacha. I want the extinguishing. I just want to save the wick. He would rather that he didn't have to come into this situation. So what's the B.O. say, Shita? So basically, the Gemara is going to give three answers to explain the B.O. say, I'm sorry, the B.O. say, Shita. Well, that's the first one. Amar Ulam. Le'olam Kerebi Yehuda Svirade. He also Kerebi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda, then he should be hayav in all three. Vekasava Rabbi Yosef soter almenat lebnot b'mkomo tave soter almenat lebnot shelo b'mkomo lo ave soter. New chedush. First of all, let's talk about another melacha, not extinguishing. Soter, one of the 39 melachot is to demolish. It's a funny melacha, because in demolishing, you're destroying. And we have a rule on the melachot of Shabbat that to be chayav in a melachah of Shabbat, it has to be something constructive. Soter is destructive. If anything, halachically, it's called mekalkel. And we know on Shabbat, mekalkel is patur. So how could you tell me soter, which is one of the 39 melachot, which is clearly destructive, is chayav? So everybody agrees that the soter that we're talking about is soter al menat libnot, that you're destroying with intention to rebuild. Sometimes, in order to reconstruct something, you have to destroy what's there in order that you have the ability to rebuild it. You can't just rebuild on something that's there. You need to break it first to reconstruct it. That's called soter al menat libnot. All the melachot are like that, by the way. One of the melachot on Shabbat is mohek. Mohek is you erase. Erasing also is destructive. You erase two letters on Shabbat. You're not hayab if you just erased. The only time you hayab on erasing is mohek al menat lichtov, where you're erasing in the paper with intention to write two letters. So therefore, again, it's a constructive erasing. We have another melacha on Shabbat, koreya. Koreya is tearing. Now there's no bigger mekalkel than you have a garment and you're tearing it. Why hayav? Koreya al menat litfor. You're tearing in order to sew. Sometimes the tailor has to rip the garment a little in order to make it straight or to give himself some room so he can go back and restitch. So therefore, every destructive melacha is only if his intention is almenat libnot, almenat litfor, almenat lichtob, etc. Now, Rabbi Yossi agrees to that. Everybody agrees to that. Rabbi Yossi just has one extra hiddush. He also applies it to kibui. Well, when you put a flame out, that's destructive. Kibui is extinguishing. Mechaber is destructive. It's not constructive. You put a ned out. Ned is positive. Not that there's a fire in somebody's house where the result is positive. The kibui itself, you're taking something that's there and you're putting it out. So he also holds it's kibui almenat lavir, that you're putting it out with intention to relight. Good. However, the Biyoseh has one condition. He holds that soter almenat libnot is davka bimkomo, that you're destroying in order to rebuild in the same place that you destroyed. Not that you were soter over here and you built somewhere else. It's not connected. It has to be soter almenat libnot bimkomo. Similarly, he holds by kibui. Kibui is also going to be hayat if you extinguished almenat lehavir bimkomo, in its place. Once you accept that rule of Rabbi Yosef, we can explain why. Kehasala shemen, kehasala petila is going to be patur. Sorry. Kehasala shemen, kehasala ner, he'll be patur. Rabbi Yosef poter mechulam. Chutz min petila. What's the hiluk? Why? Two, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is melachah shenasid lichal gufa hayav. You're right. But this is going to be considered mechaber shelo b'mkomo, where you're mechaber al menat le'avir shelo b'mkomo. Why? Now with that introduction, let's read the Rashi, and she's going to spell it out for us clearly. Ne'olam, long Rashi. But basically we read the whole Rashi outside already. לעולם כרבי יהודה סביר עלה דמשום אין צריכה לגופה לא מפטר. I don't care if the מלאכה is not צריכה לגופה. הועיל בצריכה לדבר אחר. I don't care, Barman, you're doing it for a reason. According to רבי יהודה, you don't have to do it for the מלאכה per se, as long as you're doing it for whatever reason. I'm doing it to save the נר. חייב, מלאכת מחשבת. וכי מחבל לה משום חייסה דשמן ונר. The reason when you are concerned about the oil or about the receptacle, היינו טעמה דפטור. This is the reason why he's פטור. No reason. כסבר, לסותר על מנת לבנות במקומו, הווה סותר. כל מלכלכל דשבת, הווה פטור. Every מלכלכל, every destructive act on Shabbat is פטור. דלה בינו מלאכת מחשבת, כוסנת סר קונסטרוקטיב. וסותר דתנן באבות מלאכות מחייב, and סותר, which is one of the 39 מלאכות, סותר עמנת לבנותו. It's only a סותר with the intention to rebuild. ואינו יכול לבנות, אלא אם כן סותרו. And you can't build unless you destroy first. ואשתה, לת קלקולו. That's not called the קלקול anymore. This destruction is a great thing. It's positive. ורבי יוסי סבד, דאם במקומו חוזר ובונהו. Only if you're rebuilding in the same spot, זה מחייב הסתירה. Then you're going to be חייב הסתירה. ואילה לה, ומחבר דומיד לסותרו. And מחבר is the same rule. וכן קוריה, ripping, דומיד לסותר. ולאח יתנן. We're going to learn later on. קוריה על מנת לפור. Only when you're tearing with the intention to sow. וכן מוחק, erasing. תנן על מנת לכתוב. And intentions only when you're going to rewrite. וכולם סותר נינו. הלקח. Here's the punchline. על הפתילה, when you're extinguishing in order to save the petila. Haisa dide ena ela lehadlik, which means, what's the reason why you want to save the petila? So you can relight it.
Yeah.
What are you saving the petila for? For lighting it again. Hilkach mechabe al menat lehadlik haynu bimkomo. The same place, the same wick. Where do you light? You light on a wick. So therefore, it's mechabe al menat lehadlik. Don't tell me it's melachas shenasimicha legufa. Don't tell me what you don't need the mechabe. He also can be Yehuda. So from the melachas shenasimicha legufa, some part it's hayav. But here you have to have bimkomo, and when it's for the petila, that puts it mechabe al menat lehavir bimkomo. Aval ki has al aner, what he's worried about the receptacle. Oh, al hashemen, ba the petila eno has. He don't care about the petila. He'll use a new petila. Oh, so that's mechabe al menat lehavir in a different wick. Different wick is shelo bimkomo. He doesn't care if he throws the wick out. He doesn't care, he'll take another petila. Even though it's in the same cup. The kibui is not in the oil, and the kibui is not in the receptacle. The kibui is in the petila. Ela bepetila, el kalo shaicha, stira ubinyan ela bepetila. Beautiful. Now we understand. Now you can ask me a question. What is those extra words that the Yosef says? Chutz min apetila, mepeneshu osa peham. Who cares peham? Not peham. Because when you put out in the petila, it makes a peham. It makes like a little coal. And it's a little easier to light. Who cares about that? The point, it's irrelevant information according to what we're learning now. The main reason of the Yosef is it's mechaber al menat lehavir bimkomo petila. So then she answers that first also. Look at the second line. Udiktani, second white line in Nashi. Udiktani. She'osa peham. Ken omar. Mepneshin osim peham mitchilata veomedet lazor vileahez ba ur or vika binyam mekom stira. He's just giving you the reality of wicks. When you light a wick, it makes a peham. When you light it originally, the first time you lit it, it makes a peham. That's why when you extinguish it, it's much easier to relight it a second time, but that's what wicks do. Wicks make a peham, which make it easier to relight. So therefore, the Mepneshu Osa Peham is just explaining why it's going to be Mechabe al Menat Lehavir Bimkomo. Because that's the nature of a wick. You light the wick makes a peham, it lights good, it lights again if you want to use it again, and so on and so forth. That's Ula's interpretation of Rabbi Yosef. So again, he follows Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, really, Melachat Shenatzarek HaGufa Hayav. So why says Rabbi Yosef Poter? Because in this case over here, you're right, Mechabeh is Hayav in all cases. But it's got to be Mechabeh Amenat Lav'ir Bimkomo. And in Shemin, it's not Bimkomo, because you don't care about the wick. Ner, you don't care about the wick. But Petira Hayav. Next answer. Gemara says next. Oh, Gemara has a question on this. Let's analyze. Where do we learn all the 39 melachot from? From the Mishkan. Vehatam soter al menat lebnot shelo bimkomohu. Where did they destroy in the midbar in the Mishkan? They took apart the Mishkan. That's where soter is in the midbar. We learn all the melachot from the Mishkan. Where was soter? In the Mishkan, they dismantled it. Very good. Where did they rebuild it? No, in a different place. They traveled. So therefore, your source is Soter al Menat Libnot Shelo Bimkomo. So how did you learn from the Mishkan a different melacha that didn't exist? He gives an amazing answer. Amale Shani Atam Kevan Dichtiv Al Pi Hashem Yahanu. since they traveled by God's command, kesoter amenat libnot b'mkomodame. What is this answer? Since they traveled by God, God said, "Api Hashem Yahanu," right? God is traveling with them, so that's considered destroying and rebuilding in the same place. What do you mean? Geographically, it's a different place. Vayahanu, vayisahu, vayahanu, vayisahu. So the Mefashim explain it in a mashal to understand it. Mashal of a mother that's holding a baby. And the mother's carrying the baby. Even though the mother keeps on changing locations, but the baby remains in the same position, the mother's hands. And therefore, it's the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was carrying Am Yisrael in the Midbar. Al Pi Hashem Yahanu. And therefore, even though we went from location A to location B, but basically we're still in the same spot. We're still under the carrying and the auspices of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shekinah, the Shekinah's carrying us. So anyway, it's considered b'mkomo. Because the main place is not that we went from this place to that. Who cares about that place? We're in the same spot. Shekinah never left us. And that's why the Pesach Rabbi Hashem Yahanu. So therefore it's considered Sotir Amenat Lebnot b'mkomo. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yohanan Amar. Rabbi Yohanan gives a different derech. Le'olam ki Rabbi Shimon Svir Aleh. Really, Rabbi Yosef holds like Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, Melacha Shena Sericha Legufa Patur. That's why when the guy extinguishes the ner, extinguishes the flame to save the oil, that's Melacha Shena Sericha Legufa. Here's the guy. Are you interested in the kibui? No, really not. I'm just doing it to save the oil. Oh, Patur. Rabbi Yosef Poter. Ah, you're extinguishing. No, I'm at least doing it to save the receptacle. Beautiful. Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yosef Poter. Chutz min ha-petira. Why? The petira also is a menachah shena sericha legufa. Ask the guy, you want to do this extinguishing? Really not. I wish I didn't have to extinguish, but I don't want to lose my petira. Why does he say chutz min ha-petira mipnei shehu asa pecha? Umay shena petira kedama rav menuna ve'etima rav adda bar hava. Acha, biftila shesarich le'abhava askinan. We're talking about a wick that was not singed initially. It's good to singe the wick first, in order, because the second time it lights much better. Kid the amar, rava menuna betima rav adda bar hava. Acha, biftila shesarich le'abhava askinan. You need to singe it. The Ba'i Apilu Rabbi Shimon Modeh Deka Metaken Mana. Because here it's a Melacha She Siricha Legufa, which means you want, ask the guy, why are you extinguishing? I want to extinguish. What do you want to extinguish? Because this extinguishing over here is going to make the wick now better in order that I can relight it. So therefore, first of all, it's Mav'ir Amenat, it's Mechabe Amenat Lav'ir, which is a positive action, which everybody says is hayab. But more than that, he doesn't say, well, I didn't have to extinguish it. No, I'm extinguishing because I want to extinguish it. Why do you want to extinguish it? Because I want to make this wick singed so I can relight it better. Even Rabbi Shimon says, you're fixing the wick in this action over here. That's a positive melacha, even according to Rabbi Shimon. We thought till now, we were talking about a wick that was singed already. And the wick that's singed already, you really don't want to do the extinguishing. You just want to save the wick. Here, no. Here, I want to do the extinguishing. Why? Because I'm singeing it. I'm making the wick better. The Gemara says, Daikaname, you know what? This answer is good. Diktani, Shu osap peham, velo ketani mipne shenaasit peham. Shmamina. In the first answer, we learned that the peham is there from the beginning. But according to this answer, the Lashon of the Mishnah is more precise. Mipnei she'osa peham. You're making a peham. Which means the reason why you light the ner, not because she'asi peham. because you're making a peham for the next time, and therefore it's more meduyak in the lashon of the Mishnah that the inyan is for the next time you're doing it. The she'osah in the future, not she'nasi peham, and therefore the biyoseh says, really, I would like to be Shimon. So Rabbi Hanan says, I would like to be Shimon. Therefore, the Rabbi Yosef poter bechulan chutz min apetida, because he's making a peham, and if he wants the extinguishing in order to relight it a second time. Meaning? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I would think logically that if the
kind of the second lighting, once you get it on the second lighting, it's a lighting again. It's not going to hold good. Yeah, not going to hold good. You got to light it again. It seems. So once you put it on, you light it again.
Correct.
Bedu petila shelo hebeva askinan. Bedu petila shelo hebeva askinan. If it was hebeva, I don't need this kibbutz. What are you kibbutz for? I want to save the wick. Mishnah.
What does Pesikresh?
Pesikresh has got nothing to do with this. We know you're doing a mela pesikresh. We know that when you're going to put it out, it's going to go out. No one's telling pesikresh. You're doing a melacha. Pesikresh, I'm doing something mutar and something yisur comes out. Here, I'm doing something yisur. No, I'm extinguishing. What the guy asked the guy, what are you doing? I am extinguishing. You know extinguishing is asur? I know it's asur. There's no pesikresh. Is it melacha or say? Just the melacha, just like a melacha. Why are you extinguishing? Because I want to save the wick. Mishnah, famous Mishnah. Al shalosh averot, nashim metot b'shat ledatan, bar minam. Because of three sins, ladies die during childbirth. Al she'enan zehirot, because they're not careful, b'nida, the laws of nida, b'hala, they're not careful in taking the hala from the dough, u'b'adlakat haner, and they're not careful in the lighting of the candles. Gemara will ask the obvious question. These mitzvot, lechaora, are not related to childbirth. Ladies have to keep nida, and they have to keep halan and the katanir. Why all of a sudden are we linking this that they're going to die in childbirth? What's the connection? What's the analogy here? So the Gemara says, nida. First, we're discussing why should a lady deserve to die because she's in childbirth because she's not careful for nida. Nida is understandable. Nida, my ta'ama, marbi tzchak. I kilkela behadre betna. Lefichak tilke behadre betna. That I understand. Nida is where? In her womb. She's not careful with the womb, with the blood that comes from her womb. Look, so when she gives birth with the baby that's coming from her womb, they're not going to be careful with her either. And therefore, she made a kilkul with the blood from her womb. She's not careful in the chot nida, so when her womb is giving a baby, they'll make sure that doesn't work either. But minna, it's like a midah keneged midah. She rebelled on this, so they're going to rebel her on that. So nida is understood. Halab adlakataner. But what in the world does Hala have to do with childbirth? And what's it got to do with childbirth? That rabbi from the Galil, he explained in front of Rav Hasda and he said, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. God says, Rivi'id Dam Natati Bachin. I gave you Rivi'id Dam, the minimum amount of blood that a person can exist on is, according to the Gemara, the vi'it. As long as he has 3-4 ounces of blood in his body, the vi'it dam, already he's enough, he can live. Now she says, Haye Adam Teluim Ba. That's the life of a person on the vi'it dam, God says. Al Eske Dam is Hanti Yitchem. I gave you blood, which is your life support, but I warned you on the blood also. I told you we came from the blood of Nida. Number two, Rishit Karati Etchem. You know God says, I called you my first. You are called Rishit Tevuato, you're called God's first. Aleske Rishit is Arti Etchem. But as a result, I also commanded you on the laws of Rishit. What's Rishit? Rishit Arisotechem. When you have a dough, your first thing in the dough has to be to take a halah. So again, God says, I told you you have blood, which is a lifeline. I warned you about the blood. I called you the sheet. I warned you about the sheet. Arisotechem. Neshama shenatati bachem. I gave you neshama. Kiruya ner. The neshama is called the ner. Ner Hashem neshmat Adam. The neshama is referred to a ner. And therefore, on the skin ner is ati etchem. That's why I told you. You have a neshama, which is ner. Be careful on the laws of ner, which is nerot Shabbat. Im atem mekaymim otam mutav. You fulfill these three items, nida, chala, nadakat ner, you'll be okay. Vim lav, hareni noten nishmatchem. You're not going to be careful on the blood? I'll take your blood. Ah, you're not going to be careful on the sheet, arisotechem? You're called reshit. Finish, I'll take the reshit. I called you a ner neshama. You're not careful on the ner? Boom, I take the neshama. Oh. So comes the Gemara and says, no problem. But what does God do with giving birth? You explain to me now why these three things over here are life dependent. But why at birth? Why does this happen when she's giving birth? So the Gemara gives a few answers now. Amar Rava. Rava gives a mashal. Nafal tura haded lesakina. When the ox falls to the ground, the shohet starts to sharpen his knife, which means he's not going to be able to get up. Because it's hard to get the ox down. But once you get him down, they go all excited. Sharpen the knife, he's down. Similarly, it's hard for the satan to come after somebody that's healthy. Somebody that's in good, stable condition. But once a lady already is down in labor, now the satan says, okay, now it's easy. She's down anyway. So sharpen the knife. That means she's vulnerable. So therefore, these three averot, they're punishable by death. But they're punishable when, like when the ox falls on the floor and they say, oh, now we sharpen the knife. Now it's much easier. Instead of having to knock it down, which is very difficult. Like you said, she's vulnerable at that time. Therefore, kiviyachol, it's a little easier for the satan to do what he has to do. Now the Gemara is going to say basically the same thing in many ways. Gemara, each rabbi is going to give their own analogy of why these things get her at the time of pregnancy or a time of labor. So Gemara says like this. Abaye gives a different analogy. Tafish tiros amta behad mahtira lehve. Rashi, fourth line, last words. A lot of words here. Tafish tiros amta. Well, amta we know is a maidservant. And tafish in Aramaic means a lot. So Rashi says tarbe Peshaim. Ah, so the word tiros is crimes. Tarbe peshaim ashifha vekula chelka b'habata ahat. The maidservant has a lot of crimes, so we punish her for all her crimes in one shot. Rashi tafish tarbe tiros pesha mahtira kedomar isha omedet liyisure leda. Why is the lady have pains in childbirth? Because it's a sin. Because she ate from the tree. So the whole concept of pain in childbirth is because it's a punishment. So already, once already she's getting punished, boom, already we give a punishment for nida, Allah, already we're hitting. Once the whip is out already, so the whip is out, so we keep continue hitting. Rav Chisda Amar, Rav Chisda said, Rav Chisda gave a different interpretation. Shavkel l'Ravya, leave the drunken. Ravya is the guy who drinks. Leave the, you don't got to push the drunk guy. He'll fall by himself. The minafsha nafil. The drunk man, he's just so unstable, he'll fall by himself. So the same thing. When a lady is giving birth, she's in danger. So kiviyachol, God says, just leave her. Just leave her. You don't have to do anything. It's easy. God doesn't have to do an active punishment. Just like you don't have to do something active to punish somebody when it's drunk. He falls by himself. So therefore, kiviyakol, it's an easier punishment. We're ready, just leave her alone. Rashi. Shabken le Ravya le shikor enach sarich la pilo. You don't have to push him down. Shu yipol me'elav. Kaka isha omedet liled. Mishinat abera v'yisidicha lebakesh l'kadmurgu leftoa rahma. She's praying to God, please God, open my womb so the baby comes out. V'hu nimna. God's passive. V'hi meta me'eleha. It's all mishalim. Mor Ogva Amar, Mor Ogva gives a different mashal. Ra'ya Hegra. That's a shepherd that is lame. Ra'ya Hegra. The shepherd is lame. He cannot walk. Ve'izeh Rihatan. And the goats are running because he cannot catch up to them to beat them for their crimes. Abab Hutra Mile. However, as she says, was Abab. Bab is the Bab, the door, the gate. Hutra, what's Hutra? The stick. Mile, words. Kishihi ba'a lifne gidrotzon. When the sheep gets in front of the gate, where all the sheep are, Shamu medabir imma. Then the shepherd catches up and is able to rebuke the goats. Lalkota al pesha'a ve'abedare lebet adir shlutzon ba'im ne'azbon. When they finally get to the gates, in the gates, then he's able to rebuke them. But when they're running around, he can't catch up to them. Once they get back to the pen, now they're stuck. Now he has them there. He gets them. Kilomar, what does it got to do with the lady? Kisha'isha hibiri'ut, when the lady is healthy, when she's healthy, the Satan can't catch up with her. Satan cannot persecute her in Shamayim. But now she's stuck. She's on the birthing table. She can't go anywhere. She's at the gates of Sakana. She needs miracles on the birthing table. Now the Satan starts to mention her sins. If she's worthy to the miracle or not. So again, it's a concept of vulnerability. The Satan's able to catch up with her when she needs now this miracle to happen to her to give birth safely. And that's what it says in the Gemara here. Abab Chutra mile ve'abed darei choshbena. In the pen, that's where you make the hashbon. The papa amar, another mashal, which this is applicable to our day here today. This mashal is applicable to what's going on today. Abab henvata nefishi ache umrahame. In front of the store that's giving out free food, everybody that's standing online is friendly with each other and is nice and happy because they're getting something for free. Abab bizyoneh. However, when they're standing online and there's poverty and there's loss, lo aheb elo merahameh. There's no brotherhood and there's no mercy. Every man for himself. There's violence. This is what's going on today with the gas lines. Now she says, "Abab hanba'a nefishi achei v'rahameh lepeta hachanut shemehalikim bo mizonot." Where they're giving out free food, v'yesh sham osher. There's a lot of surplus. There's beracha. Everybody knows there's enough for everybody. Everybody knows they're not going to run out. Harbe achim v'harbe ohavim yesh. Everybody online is happy. They know they're going to get food. They know they're going to get a beracha. In a place where there's not enough, in a place where there's lacking supplies, there's no brotherhood, there's no friendship. In the time of sakana, it's a time of loss, and therefore there's no friendship, which means she loses her defenders in Shamayim, so to speak, and they start to prosecute against her. The gavre. So the Gemara asks the question. The ladies, they get judged on the birthing table. When does the man get judged? When is his vulnerable moment? Amar Ishtakish, B'sha'a Sho'ovrim ala gesher, when he crosses the bridge, the man travels. In the olden days, the bridges were dangerous. The bridges were, you know, bridges that were made out of ropes and slats. When the person goes on the bridge, shaking the bridge. That's when he's judged. So the Gemara says, gesher vetula. That's it. It's the only place where he gets judged, only in the bridge. If he doesn't take bridges, he's covered. Gemara says, Ema ke'en gesher. Things that are like the gesher,
an airplane.
Dangerous things. No, I didn't say an airplane. Now she says, not airplane. Now she says, Kol makom sakana. Kegon kir natui. There's a wall that's dilapidated. He walks under a wall that's about to fall. V'yotzena derech. Or traveling. Kol ha-derechim ba'azkat sakana. The traveling itself. Rav lo avar b'mabera diyativ be'akum. Rav would not cross a bridge if there was a goy on the bridge. Why? Amar dilma mifkad le'dina aleh. Maybe the satan's going after the goy, and I'm going to be on the bridge with him. I'm going to fall down also. Shmuel, the opposite. Lo avar ela b'mabera de'id be'akum. He would only go on a bridge where there was a goy on it. Amar sitna betre ume lo shalit. He said the satan doesn't go after two nations at the same time. And therefore, Adrabah, you got a Jew and a goy, he's not going to go after both of us at the same time. So he's coming. Rabbi Yanai, Badik ve'Avar. Rabbi Yanai, it says, used to check the boat. Before he used to go on the boat, he used to check the boat. By the way, Mibara is not a bridge. Mibara is a boat. The last rabbi would only go on a boat if there was a goy on the boat. And this rabbi used to check the boat for holes. Because he wanted to make sure there's no sakana. Rabbi Yanai le'ta'ameh. Rabbi Yanai is following his reasoning. Why do he have to check the boat? He's a tzaddik. God will make a miracle for him. Le'olam al ya'amod adam b'mkom sakana. A person should not put himself in danger. Lomar she'osim lo nes. And he'll say, don't worry. God will make a miracle. Why? Shema en osim lo nes. Because maybe they're not going to make a miracle. Now listen to this. Ve'im osim lo nes. Menakim lo mezakiyota. And if they make a miracle, they're going to take away from his zichuyot. Like we spoke at length the other day. And therefore, what's the explanation? I'm explaining to you deeper now. Whenever a miracle happens to a person, so it costs him. It costs him zichuyot. A person can go to Olam Abba after serving God for so many years. They tell him, your account sheet, zero. What do you mean zero? I saved you from that miracle. I saved you from that danger. I saved you from that situation. What do you think? For free? You have to pay your zikuyot. Why does the zikuyot have to get charged? Explanation is like this. A zikut, a mitzvah, is something that is not from this world. Mitzvot are something that are above nature. Especially the reward for the mitzvot cannot be in this world. There's nothing in this world that can actually pay or compensate a person for a mitzvah. Mitzvah is something that's spiritual. V'chi, we can give an understanding to shaking the lulav. Lulav is something above nature, that you do this action over here and somehow you're going to get a spiritual reward in Olam Haba. If I check my suit for sharpness, it's a spiritual concept. Science cannot prove our mitzvot. Can science prove tefillin, four parashiyot, black box, square? It's something that's ruhani. It's above nature, the mitzvot. When a person needs a miracle to happen, he needs some sort of payment that's a supernatural payment. Because you need something supernatural to happen to you. So therefore, the only supernatural currency that we have in our account is mitzvot. So for a nes to happen, you need to pay it in supernatural currency. So therefore, you lose your supernatural mitzvot. And the tzaddikim, they don't want to use a supernatural currency in a natural world. They want to wait for the payment in Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, the mitzvah is eternal. In this world, you paid for it, you lost it. So the guy, he was saved. So the rabbi would always check the situation first. So remember, what are you worried about? Your tzaddik is going on the boat. I want to make sure everything is safe over here. I don't want to put myself in danger. First of all, who says they're going to make a miracle? And if they make a miracle, I don't want to pay. Amar of Hanan, or of Hanin. Hanin, close. Me'ekira'a, where do you see that the tzaddikim were worried that they might have eaten up their zikhuyot because of miracles? Anybody greater than Yaakov Avinu? What does Yaakov Avinu say? Katonti mikol ha'asadim u'mikol ha'emet. He says, katonti. I'm worried that my bank account of mitzvot became katan. You saved me from Lavan. You saved me from all these miracles that happened. Maybe I'm not going to get protected anymore. Katonti. So you see, the tzaddikim were worried that maybe all their miraculous existence was true. But God promised Yaakov, don't worry. That was the chesed shel emet. The bizera, listen to this. Also applicable to our time. Biyomad deshuta, on a day of great winds. Now she says, when the southerly winds, which are the strong winds, when they would blow very, very strong, you know what he would be careful? Lo nafik rebenet dekleh. He wouldn't walk under the trees. Because he knew when the strong winds come, the trees are going to fall. He didn't say, I'm a tzaddik, you know what? If it's meant, it's meant. If it's not meant, it's not meant. No such thing like this. You cannot put yourself in a sakana and then the tree hits the guy. Nasib, my time. No. He was careful on a windy day. Stay clear of the trees. Do we need a proof for this Gemara? Do we need a proof?
In the south winds.
South winds. That's where it came from. That's the dangerous winds. Do we need a proof? Today it's obvious that a tree is sakana in the times of winds. Between the gas lines and the trees,
the oil.
It's all here. Right? Amar b'Yitzhak, mered Rav Yehuda, le'olam yibakesh adam rachamim shelo yechele. Here the Gemara is teaching a different concept. A person should really pray to God that he should not get sick. She'im yechele, omrim lo habezichut v'pater. Once a person gets sick, now he has to defend himself already in Beit Din and Shamayim. Now they tell him, you're sick, you want to get better? Show us zichuyot. Give us merit. So therefore you have to pray to God not to get sick in the first place. Because once a person gets sick already, now he's got to bring zichuyot. Rashi, she says, Mimenu l'avi l'ayah. Me'achar, that's coming up. That's the point. Amar mor ugva. We'll see the proof to this concept. Me'ekira'a, what's the pasuk? You have to pray not to get sick. Which most people, they don't do that. They're praying after the person gets sick. You have to pray to Borei Olam. I don't want to get sick in the first place. Preemptive. Magdim refu'a l'makkah. How do you know this? Because the pasuk says, but then already it's not so easy to get better. Because now he's got to prove himself. Now he's got to show that he's worthy. If he doesn't get sick, so the satan leaves him alone, they're off the radar. Now he's sick, they're looking at the guy. What's this guy doing over here? He's sick, he wants to get better? Bring zechuyot. Ve'ekra ki yipol ha'nofel mimenu. We're talking about over here, somebody fell. Somebody was walking on the roof. There was no gate around the roof, guy fell. So now it says ki yipol ha'nofel. But it says ki yipol ha'nofel mimenu. What's a mimenu? The Gemara says, "Memenu lehavi ra'aya." Now you fell. Now you got to bring a proof that you're worthy to get saved. Now already you're on trial. Not that the guy's sick. Now he's got to start showing his zichuyot. And she says, "Memenu lehavi ra'aya me'achar shu nofel sarich lemso memenu ma'asav ra'aya lizchut." Tara the bit of Yishmael, ki yipol an nofel memenu. It's amazing. It calls the guy who fell off the roof a faller. Kiyipol ha'nofel. What do you mean? It sounds like the guy was a faller from the day he was born. He's not a faller. He's a faller after he falls. It should say kiyipol ha'ish. Kiyipol ha'nofel. Before he falls, he's not a nofel. Do you know what the Gemara says? La'ui zed yipol mesheshet yemei bereshit. This guy already was supposed to fall off the roof from the 6 days of creation, which means Bori Olam had it predetermined. This guy had to first tikkun for whatever it is, had to fall. So he's a dofer. Share lo nafal. He didn't fall yet. Vekatut kedav nofer. And the pasuk calls him a nofer before he fell. Ela shemegalgelin zechut al yedei zakai vechova al yedei hayav. Which teaches you a rule. Good things happen through good people, and bad things happen through guilty people. Which means, why did this guy fall off that guy's roof? Why did Reuven fall off Shimon's roof? Must be Shimon's also guilty. Because Shimon, he didn't build a fence around his roof. Torah says you have to build what's called a ma'akeh. Ma'akeh is a parapet, a fence around the roof. So God says, you're guilty because you didn't build the ma'akeh. So what does God do? He brings this guy who was supposed to fall anyway. He was going to fall, if he didn't fall on your roof, he was going to fall on somebody else's roof. But God says, let the bad event happen on the roof of the guy that did something bad. So therefore, megalgelin chova al yedei hayav. Bediu. A person got sick. And he's gonna die. They tell him, make vidui, make teshuvah. Sheken kol amumatim mitvadim. In the olden days, when they would give somebody punishment, sikila, serefa, erek, renek, the bed deen, before they would execute, they would tell the guy, Chazor Becha, make teshuvah. That's the protocol. Adam Yotze Lashuk. This is amazing now. The Gemara understood how dangerous life is. Once a person leaves his house, already the Gemara assumes, you leave your house, you're in danger. The Gemara says, Adam Yotze Lashuk. The guy just going to the store or to the market. He's going to business, to the shuk. Yeh dome be'enav kemishin imsar l'sadadiyot. Already you have to picture yourself that you were handed to the officials, to the government officials, which means you're in danger already. They didn't do anything to you yet. But you're already, you're in the hands of somebody dangerous. Why? So that she says, Mitzuyim Sham Meribot. What happens in the business world? There's fights. Fights. Ubalidinim Nukhrim, Visaylim. You go out to work. Barmanan, do you see today? Guy goes into the street. Guy pulls out a gun on him. The guy will start fighting with him. Who knows what the crazy people know. Today you see crazy people walk into the post office. The guy was 5, 9 years ago. He comes in with a machine gun and starts shooting everybody. Sakana, the guy went to work. The guy went to work. You're going to the marketplace. It's like they handed you over to the judge already. Lechem is bread. Milhama is war. The root of the word milhama is lechem, which means to make lechem, you have to go to milhama. Every day when a person goes to work, he's going to war. Not bena sakana. The Gemara says, Hash berosho, person has a headache. Then already he has to know he's in danger. Headache. They put the noose on him already. Which means he's got to make the teshuvah that he's in danger. Just a headache. Oh, if the headache is so bad, he has to lie in his bed. They already brought him up to the guillotine. Yes, it's getting worse and worse. The gallows. Lidon. Shekol ha'ole legardom lidon. Once a person goes up to the gallows, im yesh lo pedaklitim gedolim, if he has a lot of good defenders, nitzol. V'im labenu nitzol. What's the person's defenders? Bal menan, a person's God forbid sick, he's lying in bed, he needs defenders. Ve'eluhen praklitim shel adam teshuvah u'ma'asim tovim. That's the only things that can help a person. teshuvah and his good deeds that he does. Va'afilu tesha me'ot v'tishim v'tishah melamedim alav chova. Even if 999 prosecutors in Shamayim are against him, ve'ehad melamed alav zechut, and he has one defender, nitzol. God's very, very generous. If you have one against 999, shene emad, im yesh alav malach melitz ehad, mini elef, one out of 1,000, la'agid, la'adam, yashro, that speaks good about the guy, v'chonenu, God will have mercy, v'yomar, pedareu meredet shachar. Rabbi Eliezer benot shel Rabbi Yosef Galili omer, he says a big hadush. אפילו תשע מאות ותשעים ותשעה באותו מלאך לחובה ואחד לזכות ניצול שנאמר מליץ אחד מני אלף. Even if in the one angel 999 parts is guilty, but there's one part of the angel that's good, it'll save him, which means the person did an avera. He creates a malach. The malach is a bad angel. But in the avera, there was a little l'shem shamayim. There was a little, maybe the guy when he did the avera, he had a little guilt. He felt a little bad. He was a little scared. So the malach, it's 999 bad, but there's one measure that's good. That little measure that was good even at the time of the Avera can save the guy. You don't need 999 against one good angel. Even one part of an angel is able to protect the person. That means God's judgment is so careful, so meticulous, that every little machshava, every little thought is measured. Tal Rabbanan al shalosh averot Nashim metot yoldot. We learned early in the Mishnah that there are three averot that the ladies die during childbirth. Rabbi Elazar omer nashim metot yeladot. Different interpretation. The three sins that the girls die young. Yeladot, not yoldot. Yeladot, when they're young. Rabbi Ha omer, you know what the avon is? Ba'avon shemechabesot so'at b'nehem b'shabbat, because they clean the diapers on Shabbat. The olden days they had the diapers, the cloth. The cloth diaper on Shabbat gets dirty, so the ladies, they want to clean the diapers. That's asur on Shabbat. You put water on the diaper to clean it. It's one of the melachot, melaben, kobes. So because the ladies Bar Minan were over on this, what we don't see it Bar Minan, not by us. It happens many times. Something falls on the tablecloth. Right away they take ice, they put it. That's mechabes, koves, or a stain falls on a shirt. Bring ice. Bring the water, bring seltzer. On the rug. Something falls on the rug, bring the seltzer. Pour the seltzer on the rug before it goes in. That's koves. It's instinct. Doesn't have to be the diaper of the baby. That's the normal thing. But it can be anything. You want, your nature is you want to protect the item. But menan, it's a sakana. Sakana. The Gemara is going out of its way to show you this is not a small thing. It's a big deal. Put some ice on the tablecloth, put some ice on your shirt to get the stain out. No big deal. It's worth it to leave the stain and throw the shirt out and get a new rug. Let's look at the sakana. Shabbat. Could you believe it? Look how careful they are on Shabbat. Cleaning a diaper, and they're not talking about the blatant avonot, hamorot. This is the issue over here, which is worthy, which I will now make a statement. Recently, someone showed me a study. The study can be found on the internet, I'm sure. The study is frightening. This was said by a rabbi who's modern Orthodox. Now it's a point. Talking for an hour and a half. Now it's worthy to talk.
Special announcement.
So now, he said that he did a study. I'm going to shake you out of your core now. That 50% of children that graduate modern Orthodox yeshivas that he's representing, 2 years after they graduate, the mechalel Shabbat, ochlen neberot utrefot, do not wear tefillin, and ban menan fall to assimilation. This is not public schools now. This is a frightening statistic. Modern Orthodox yeshiva, they're teaching Torah. They'll call whatever modern means. I don't know what modern means. But they're teaching Torah. They're not changing the Torah that much, I don't think. They're teaching tradition. What are they teaching? But for some reason, it's not holding. So you know what one of his causes that he says, which I don't know why he said this out of all the things. He said, because one of the things that these parents in their lifestyle, they don't make their children get dressed for Shabbat. Could you believe a sensitive thing like this? He says, because what is Shabbat? Shabbat, they come to the table, this one with his sweatpants, this one with his sneakers, this one with his shorts on. Shabbat basically Saturday. Saturday is weekend. Everybody comes home from shul Friday night, if they go. They don't go to shul. Everybody puts on casual stuff. Shabbat during the day became a casual day. So the kids, the dress of the Shabbat affects the child. Because once a child is not dressed for Shabbat, so they say, what's the difference between Shabbat and Sunday? What's the difference? So it means, you know it yourself. When we go to a wedding, because we're dressed a certain way, we have to carry ourselves in a certain way. When we're dressed to go play ball, we carry ourselves different. The clothes affect the person's attitude. But this is something that's a sensitive item. So a person shouldn't think, hey, you let your kids, they're staying home, wear whatever you want on Shabbat. No. Your kids don't go to bed, Knesset, doesn't matter. In the house, Shabbat, they have to wear a button-down shirt, proper pants, proper tie, whatever. It's a formal day. We think only...
We're starting third world.
No, this is a simple thing. This is not my statement.
Yeah, I know.
This is a statement of a rabbi of modern Orthodox. He's talking in his world. He's indicting himself. He's saying one of the things that we're not careful is we don't make our children get dressed on Shabbat. We think we're doing them a favor. We say, day off, let them relax. They have Sunday for that. They're Sunday clothes. But so once a kid dresses like Sunday on Shabbat, and then he says, what is Shabbat at the end of the day? What's Shabbat? How important could it be? We make our kids dress up in a tuxedo. There's a wedding. We go shopping 6 months before to make sure they have the proper clothes to go to a wedding, which is 2 hours. So the kid knows, a wedding, this is sure. Look how much we spent to get dressed for this event over there. The kids know this is a special event. The clothes sometimes causes the excitement of the item. But if we're not careful on this, and then he gives other things as well. He says the conversation at the Shabbat table and all that stuff over there, which can be analyzed another time. But I'm just showing over here that Chilul Shabbat doesn't always begin Chilul Shabbat. It begins in an attitude. Once the attitude or the formality is not there, if a parent, which he said, the Shabbat lunch, he says they don't do. Shabbat lunch, this is what he's saying. He's saying.
He says clothing and food are what making Shabbat distinct.
I don't know what anybody says. I just know what this guy said. I don't even know who the guy is. But all he says is that Shabbat lunch becomes a very informal, he calls it a brunch. Where?
I'm not going to watch.
You're coming down for lunch? Meaning it's I'm gonna come down later. I'm not hungry today. Now the lunch becomes something voluntary, and you come to the table and there's bagels and hot core chocolate, whatever, cheese and not that kosher. I understand, but I'm not saying you have to have every duck and all the fatty meat. I'm not saying that, but it's it's not mandatory anyone to sit at a Shabbat table for lunch. And the lunch itself is very casual. Shabbat is not Mother's Day. Shabbat is Shabbat. Even if you only have to have a kezayit, I'm not saying you have to eat kezayit, just wash. I'm not washing. This became the attitude today. You're going to wash your bread? No, I'm not washing today. I'm not washing. Nobody's washing. Everyone's just at the table. This one's picking a little cracker, a little temtem, and a benutam, and that's it. Doesn't work. It doesn't mean that after 1 week of this, it's going to come to Hallel Shabbat. But over time, when that becomes the way of Shabbat, so then all of a sudden you lose the whole sanctity of it. The Shabbat has to be when the father comes home from Beit Knesset. First of all, he has to go to Beit Knesset. That was the second thing he said. He said the parents in those worlds, they don't go to shul during the week. They only go to shul on Shabbat. And that's affecting the kids. Because the kids see a contradiction. What do you mean? You only go Shabbat to the shul? He says part of raising the children properly is the children have to see the father going to shul every day. Because they're saying, "Oh, my father doesn't go to shul every day. I'm not going to put on tefillin." They don't know if his father's putting on tefillin even every day. But if they know he's going to shul, Muracha, does. He also said that they're not kovei aitim Torah. In that world, they don't learn every day. They don't learn every day. Maybe they learn in the office. Maybe they learn at night. But he says they're not even doing that. That affects the child's weight. So you see, these are horrible, tragic statistics. I'm not talking, if you told me the kids that come out of public school are not Shomer Shabbat, I said, of course, Adush, what are you telling me? You tell me these are kids that go to yeshivot. These are kids that learn the Ten Commandments. These are kids that speak fluent Hebrew. They learn Hebrew. What do you call it? Avrit be'avrit. They're learning Perush. They know stuff. But for some reason, it cannot hold them. 2 years after, the statistics are 50% are not Shomer Shabbat. So what are we doing? There's a failure over here. And his claim is on some of those things that I'm mentioning to you over here. There's Shomrim. And then back to the unimportant stuff. There's Shomrim. And some say, Al Shekorin. Al Shekorin La Arona Kodesh Arna. Which is amazing. The sakana is they call it the cupboard. You don't call Arona Kodesh a cupboard. So just because they're referring to the Arona Kodesh in a derogatory way, I guess that was the vernacular. That's a nice cupboard. It's a nice box. It's a nice closet. A closet? What is a closet? It's not a closet. It's Aron. Because of that, the sakana. Tanya Rabbi Ishmael Ben Elazar Omer Ba'avon Shene Devarim Ame Aratzot Metim. There's two reasons, Bar Menan, that cause Ame Aratzot, Amaris, why they die, comfortably. Al Shekorim La Arona Kodesh Arna. Also, they don't call the Arona Kodesh by the proper name. Ba'al, the closet, exactly. Ba'al Shekorim La Bet Knesset Bet Am. They don't call the Bet Knesset by the proper name. Bet Knesset is a Makom Kadosh. They call it Bet Am, the meeting place, the gathering place. No, Bet Knesset, you have to call. Amazing, the sakana. But he doesn't talk about the talking issue. Could you imagine the sakana, even just to talk about a Bet Knesset? Tanya Rabbi Yosei Omer. By the way, that was the other thing he said, the people talking Bet Knesset. That was another thing he wrote. I got to show you the article. He gives a whole list of things, why he's thinking, why the children are like. Tanya Rabbi, you found it? No, I thought you found it. Tanya Rabbi Yosei Omer. I thought you found it. It's, you can find it. It's easy. Shelosha Badke Mita. What is Badke? There are three checks. Libdok. The Bar Menan, when the lady's in danger, they check her for these three avarot. If she has them, sakana. Nivriu Beisha. The Amrila Shiloshit Dabke Mita. Some don't have the word Badke, they have the word Datke. Datke is they attach to her. The debek. Kli barmelan averot. Cling. They bring death close. Nida halab and nakataner. Like we saw. Nida halab and nakataner. Hada kerabi al-azad. The hada kerabbanan. One is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Remember we just learned above? One rabbi said, Nashim mitot yuldot. That the Bar Minan, they die young. And one rabbi said, they die yuldot, when they are giving birth. So there were these two opinions here. One rabbi that says, Batke, that's talking about when they're giving birth, that they're checked at the time of birth. When it says dapke, that it's clinging to them anytime, even when they yoldot. So these two opinions of dapke and badke are the mahlokat of yoldot and yeladot. Tanya, Aban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, halachot hekdesh. There's laws of hekdesh. What's hekdesh? Hekdesh is if somebody has something, animal or a metaltilin or an object, and he consecrates it. That is a hekdesh. So that's the status of hekdesh, and now you cannot benefit from it. Terumot. What's terumot? Person has food. He has to take terumah, give it to the kohen. If he doesn't take the terumah, he's not allowed to eat it. Or ma'asrot. Ma'asrot also is to give 10% to the Levi. If you don't give 10% to the Levi, you cannot eat it. En gufei Torah. This is the essence of Torah. These are major laws of the Torah. Terumot, ma'asrot, hekdesh. And what? V'nimseru le'amei ha'aretz. Amazing. The Torah trusts the Am ha'aretz on these halachot. The Am ha'aretz gives something to his neighbor. Does the neighbor have to worry? Maybe the Am ha'aretz made it hekdesh, and now I'm using hekdesh. You don't got to worry. You can trust the Am ha'aretz that he's not going to fool around with hekdesh. The Am ha'aretz from the Torah gives you something to eat. You have to worry. Oh, maybe you didn't take terumot. You don't have to worry. Such a stringent item, you can assume. From the Torah, you don't even have to worry about ma'asir. The rabbis later came on and said in Am ha'aretz you have to suspect that he might not give his ma'asir. But that's from the rabbis. But the Torah itself trusted the guy that he's not going to fool around with hekdesh, he's not going to fool around with terumot and ma'asrot. That's why the halakha said you can eat the bread of an Am ha'aretz from the Torah and you don't have to worry about anything. Good. Tanya. Wait. Now look at, listen to this here. The Binatan Omer, Va'avon Nedarim. Person doesn't keep his word, doesn't keep his Nedarim. Meta Isha Shel Adam. Bar Minan, the person's wife dies. Shene'emar, Im En Lecha Leshalem, if you don't have what to pay, Lama Yika' Mishkabecha Metachtecha. Why are you going to make God take your wife from beneath you? What does this mean here? What's the measure for measure? Person doesn't keep a neder, Bar Minan, that should put his wife in jeopardy. So the Mefashim explain, what type of nedarim are we talking about over here? Pledges that a person made to the Bet Knesset, or pledges that he made to tzedakah, but he doesn't make good on the pledges. Why? Because his wife is spending all sorts of money, and therefore he cannot pay his pledges, because his money is going to the excesses and the luxuries of life. Bidiyuk to the other yeshivot. The yeshivot on Madison Avenue. The yeshivot on Fifth Avenue in Lexington. To those other institutions. So therefore, Bar Minan, the guy says, I can't pay my pledges, I have all these bills from the... So God forbid, they say, it's her fault. That's one interpretation of what the Midah Keneged Midah is of Nedarim to the wife. Gemara continues. Va'avon Nedarim. Banim metim kishem ketanim. Bar Minan. Va'avon Nedarim. Because a person doesn't keep his word, Bar Minan, it causes children. Va'aleinu ve'lo alechem. מתים כשם כתרים שנאמר, אל תתן את פיך, don't let your mouth להחטיא את בשריך, don't let it cause your flesh to become punished. The flesh is referring to your children that come out of your flesh. ואל תאמר לפני המלאך, don't think you're going to be able to defend yourself in front of the angel. כי שגגהי, you're going to say, well, I made a mistake. למה יקסוף העדים על קולך? Why do you want God to be angry at your voice, at your words? וחבל את מעשי ידיך. God is going to destroy your handiwork. ואיזה אין מעשי ידיו של אדם? What's the handiwork of a person? אבי אומר, בניו ובנותיו של אדם. תראו לבנם, בעוון נדרים, בנים מתים. דברי רבי אליעזר ורבי שמעון. What does this mean over here? בעוון נדרים, בנים מתים. בנים קטנים מתים. What's the explanation? So we once explained this on a deep level. Hachamim teach us that there are two covenants that God made with Am Yisrael. One is called Berit HaLashon, the covenant of speech, and one is called Berit HaMa'or. Ma'or is the covenant of the Berit Milah. Berit Milah we just read in the Perashah, it's called Berit, 13 times it says the word Berit. But also the Torah, which is Berit HaLashon, Im lo Beriti Yomam V'Laila, which is the Torah which is done with the Lashon, that we're obligated to use our Lashon, Shemirat HaLashon, all the different sins of speech that we're mandated to. These two Beritot are connected. As a matter of fact, they're so connected that without Berit Milah, one is not Zocheh to the Berit of Torah. What do I mean to say? We just read an incredible story in the Torah, how the angels came to visit Avraham Avinu on the third day after his circumcision. We read Gabriel was there, Michael was there, Raphael was there, the three major malachim. This came after the Brit Milah. This episode, although we read about it in Parashat Vayera, has the time of saying things that you never heard before. And I'm not going to say it. Explanations like this. This story that we read in Parashat Vayera has great ramifications much later on in history. This story happens about in the year 1990. 2000 from creation. This story would influence history 500 years later, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah to bring it down to Am Yisrael. We all read this Gemara, we all know it. It's a Midrash as well. So when Moshe Rabbeinu went up, so the angels protested. The angels said, what are you talking about? We're not giving Torah now. We're not giving the Torah to Am Yisrael. Torah stays by us. So amongst the different claims that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the angels and God gave to the angels, at one point it says, Moshe Rabbeinu's face turned to the image of Avraham Avinu. And God tells the angels, you're not embarrassed? Didn't you go down and have a se'udah by this man? By Avraham Avinu, you went down over there and you ate, he fed you, and now you're not going to reciprocate, you're not going to give the Torah. Which means this story of Avraham Avinu being visited by the three angels is essential for us receiving the Torah. If that story doesn't happen, so now we have one less claim to receive the Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated this event really to our benefit. Now this episode is magnified a million times. We just look at the episode, Hachnasat Orchim, Chesed, yes for sure. But this story over here is one of our counterclaims against the angels in order to receive the Torah. When the angels saw Avraham Avinu and they saw that they ate by his house, they said, okay, we can't really say too much. We're going to now give them the Torah. What's the depth? The angels or God was only able to bring the Malachim to the house of Abraham after the Brit Milah. Because only after the Brit Milah could we be Zoche to Brit HaTorah. This story, which is the key piece of our receiving of the Torah, can only happen after the Brit Milah, because the Brit HaLashon, which is the Brit of the Torah, which is in the mouth, and the Brit HaMilah are connected. As a matter of fact, the Chachamim say that specifically the Malachim were trying to hold back Torah Sheba'al Peh, which is the main Torah. We call it Gemara. That was the main holding back. The Tzaddikim say that the reason why we call it Gemara is Rashi Tevot of four angels: Gabriel, Michael, Raphael, Uriel. That's Rashi Tevot Gemara. And the Shlach Kadosh brings down that therefore he says it's proper before you pray every morning to learn Gemara. Because then the four Malachim, Gabriel, Michael, Raphael, and Uriel, carry your tefillot up to the Keter, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that which we're learning before Shacharit is by design. Specifically Gemara. It's a preparation for tefillah. Because when you go into a tefillah after a limud of Gemara, you now have wings. You now have flight. The tefillah now is able to be carried up by the four Malachim. That's why you always should pray in the minyan where they learned before Gemara. That minyan has a greater chance of the tefillah being, even if you didn't learn with them, but you're in the minyan with them. The tefillah goes up at the sibur. So it's a minyan of lomde Gemara, different tefillah. Oh, that's why Abraham had to be visited by Gabriel, Michael, and Raphael, because those are the three malachim of the Torah. But the Mefarshim say, where was Uriel? Where's Uriel? Where's the fourth one? What's the numerical value of Uriel? Let's see if we can do it ourselves. Well, El we know is 31. So I take the El. And Uri? Alev Vav? 248 Uriel. What's the Gematria of Abraham? 248. The Tzaddikim say that at that moment, Avraham Avinu elevated himself to Uriel, and therefore you had all of them there in one shot. You had Gabriel, Michael, Raphael, Avraham, Gematria, Uriel, and at that point over there, at that visit, you had the Anyan of Gemara. And that's why he told them, V'sha'anu ta'at ha'etz. Go now under the etz. What's etz? The Torah, like we said yesterday, etz chayim ilim azikim ba. He told him, "Shanu ta'ata etz." Finished. You're stuck. You came here to visit me. I'm Uriel. I'm going to use this against you one day. When you're going to protest against the Torah, I'll show you. You came to visit me. Finished. You have to give us the Gemara. The source of Gemara comes from that visit of Avraham Avinu, but it can only come after the Brit Milah. Every so often we read the Patach Aliyah Navi in the Sidur. One day Bezat Hashem will give a perush to every word of Patach Aliyah. It's very, very important that we do that. So one of the things we say is we're explaining the different parts of the body. Chesed Deru'a Yemina. Chesed is the right hand. Gevura Deru'a Semala. The Gevura is the left hand. Tiferet Gufa. Tiferet is the goof. Nesach vehod, tren shukin. Nesach anod is the two legs. Yesod, siyumag de gufa. Yesod is the brit milah, when the body ends, the extremities. Malchut, peh. Malchut is what? The mouth. Torah sheba'al peh, karinan la. The peh is what? The peh means Torah sheba'al peh. The Talmud comes somewhere from the mouth, from the peh. Malchut, peh. Torah Shebaal Peh Karin Anla. This is the main purpose of the mouth. In order to read Torah Shebaal Peh. But you cannot study Torah Shebaal Peh unless you have Brit Milah. Lo Asachen Echol Goy. O Mishpatim Baal Yedaon. The Da'at Zekenim and Baalei HaTosafot brings down an incredible story. I'll show you the story. Can you bring me our Chumash Mekraot Gedolot? He tells a story of Unkelos Ager. Unkelos, the famous convert, Unkelos. We have there the Chumash, the Mekraot Gedolot. Oh, I have it. Let's see if I can find it. If I can find it, otherwise I'll talk to you outside. We have the Adzekinim with Baalei HaTosafot in the back here. It's in the back of our situation over here. This is talking about Unkelos. When Unkelos came to convert, he went to get advice. No, and they told him, you could convert. And by the way, look at his Rashi says, Usheratza Kadosh Baruch Hu Da'at Zekenim. Usheratza Kadosh Baruch Hu Liten Torah LiYisrael. Amru HaMalachim. Tenao Dechal HaShamayim. The angel said, keep the Torah in heaven. Amar Lahem, Katub BaTorah Lo Tebashel Gedi Ba'alev. Ve'atem Kishiratem Lemata. Achartem Basar B'Halav. Didn't you eat Basar B'Halav? Ba'Amram Abinu. That's part of the midrash that we said above. Anyway, it says that they told them, study Torah. They told Unkelos, study Torah, but don't take Brit Milah. And Unkelos told them back, it's impossible. If we don't study, if we don't take Brit Milah, the Torah is not going to be accepted. It means the wiring of the pair is connected to the wiring of the Milah. Milah Gematria Mem Yud Lamed He. How much is Milah equal? Mem Yud is 50, Lamed is 85. Milah Gematria Peh is 85. Because the Peh and the Milah are linked. That when a person is, that is the secret I'm telling you now. Have to do with Al Gemara. When a person is as Shemirat HaLashon, the Shemirat HaLashon gives a person a protection of Shemirat HaBrit as well. But Chas V'Shalom, when a person speaks extra words, the extra words are Dibarim LeBatala. The extra words, but Menan affects that something else, Chas V'Shalom, will be the Batala, by the Brit Milah. A person will notice that with his speech, the Batala, it affects, because they're connected on the same grid, on the same wiring, it's going to affect it. But Menan, the Gemara says in another place, that if somebody has the sin of the Batala, that's considered as if Chas V'Shalom, it's destructive. Because this Zera can produce children. So instead of producing it in children, they're destroying it. Gam b'chnafav nimse'u dam nefashot. God says, I found in their box dam of nefashot nikiyim, innocent lives. Suhate yeladim. You must altikle suhate ela suhate. Bar minnan. This is the depth of what this Gemara means. When a person doesn't keep his word of neder, that means he's saying words in waste. Banim metim means it leads to zera la batala, and that's considered banim metim. The banim that come from the zera is considered banim. Ba'avon nedarim, which means ba'avon, when the shemirat peh is not protected. Pegematria milah, what a matter is going to affect. That's why when we come to the days of Shuvavim, Why do we make Talit Dibur? Because that's connected. What's in Yan of Shuvavim and Talit Dibur? Because once you fix the Dibur, so automatically the other items are fixed as well. It's the same item. That's why the greatest tikkun for the Averot is the study of Torah. Because Malchut Torah Sheba'al Peh Karin Allah. The biggest tikkun of the Peh is Torah Sheba'al Peh. There's nothing greater that can fix the Averot than that. So therefore, we make the tikkun in Torah Sheba'al Peh. And that's why, specifically the Gemara says, Ba'avon Nedarim Bani Metim. It's talking on this higher level of Dibur Lebatala. That's why they talk Devarim Betelim. It's the same Lashon. Zera Lebatala, Devarim Betelim. You see the same Lashonot that are used. One leads to the other. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said. Al titen et picha le'ahti et besarecha. What did he mean? Al titen et picha. Don't let your mouth cause you to sin in your basar. What was he even talking about? Even simply, he means lahti means to be depleted or punished. Don't let your mouth cause your body to be punished. Like we know that merbe devarim merbe chet, which means a person becomes deficient when he speaks diburim. The Ramban says in the beginning of his letter, when he talks about being careful from ka'as and all these other averot, the sins of speech cause a person's body, chas v'shalom, to be plagued. In the olden days, they got sara'at. Al titen et picha lahti et besarecha. But here, in the depth, it means don't let your mouth cause your husband to make a sin with the basar, which is referring to the brit milah. So what was the matter with the brit milah? Was one to do the other? Yeah, because they're the same item. Rest assured, the Gemara Mishnah says a Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah says, Kol yamai gudalti ben hachamim. All my life I grew up with the hachamim. Velo matzati laguf tov ela shetika. He said, I didn't find anything better for the goof than shetika. What is for the goof? What is he talking about? I didn't find anything better for the goof than shetika. The explanation is, he was saying, I didn't find anything better for the goof. What's the goof of the person? The physical part of the person is the milah. That's where the goof is. We're talking about gufani. The materialistic part, the lustful part, the desireless part. The goof is the milah. Lo matzati la goof tov. How do I know tov is the milah? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the pasuk says, "Vatere oto kitovhu." What does Rashi say? Mikan shenolad mahud. That you see, tov is a reference to the brit milah. Interesting. Milah is called tov, and the Torah is called tov. Ki lekach tov natati lachem. Because the tov of the brit milah is connected to the tov of the Torah. And therefore, the Mishnah says, "Velo matzati laguf tov." If a person wants to have guf tov, which is referring to the brit milah, but tere oto kitovu, lo matzati laguf tov ela shetika. The shetika is the key item. People are looking for all sigulot. Oh, tikkun of the milah, tikkun of tikkun, tikkun. Just don't talk so much. Just keep quiet. It's the best tikkun. You don't have to worry about anything else. This is a remez, what the Gemara said, Mila besela, Mishtoka betren. Which simply means, Mila is a word. Interesting, that the same word for Mila, which is a word, is Brit Mila as well. The same word in Hebrew, Mila, Mila. Because they're connected, they're the same item. So Mila says, Mila besela. A word is worth one coin. Mishtoka betren. But silence is worth two. Silence is twice as valuable as talking. Talking, anybody could talk. You don't have to be a hakam to talk. On the contrary, the Gemara says, Estera bilgina kish kish karya. Usually it's the imbecile that always is talking. Why? They compare it to a tzedakah box with one coin. The tzedakah with one coin makes a lot of noise. Ping, 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 kish, 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 kish. That's a proof. So you see over here, that you have a... You have a box. The box is empty. So it makes a lot of clanking. But you have a box that's full. Doesn't make any noise. The guy goes around to collect the tzedakah with a box that's full. He shakes it. There's nothing. Therefore, mishtoka besela. Mila besela. Mila is worth a coin. Mishtoka betren. Mishtoka is much greater. One rabbi said that the main way to learn is you have to be silent. Because when you're talking, you're not learning. When you're talking, you're teaching. When you're learning, you have to listen. The letters listen are the same letters as silent. To listen, you have to be silent. When you're not silent, you're not listening. That means you're talking, you're giving information, you're not receiving information. So the Gemara is giving advice. Mila besena, you want to go pay for a word, you pay a dollar. Shitika, you pay $2. But based on what we're saying today, the Gemara is saying, the Mila besela. Sela is a rock. What did they use the rock for in the olden days? Sekila. But minnan, person commits averot, Gemara says, Mila besela. Person has averot of the Mila. The only punishment is what? Besela. And the Gemara says another advice. Vishtoka betren. Vishtoka, you fix two things. You fix tikuna peh and you fix tikuna mila. You don't need the sela. Mila alone, besela. You're stuck. Sekila. Babbar minnan, you don't want to get sela. Vishtoka, just be quiet. Betren. Then already you make two tikunim. Tikun ha-peh, tikun ha-mila. Therefore, the anyan of watching the speech, that's why David HaMelech said, Mi'ayi sha'afetz chayim. Who is the one that wants chayim? Ve'ev yamim lirotob, v'soh l'shulcha mera, u'sfatecha medaber minma. Because, bar minnan, the wasting of the zera is a mitah. Who wants to have Hayim, which means he's not going to be involved in mashchit, he's not going to be involved in destructive behavior. Etc. etc. And this is what the Gemara over here is hinting to us. That when there's a lax in Avone Darim of Shemirat HaPeh, Peh Gematria Mila, then already a person has to worry about much greater issues. Baruch Adonai. Amen.